it's an interesting process learning how to write in someone else's voice, and then for me personally, flipping, back and forth between my own
Yeah.
and the others. And I actually have had a few times where I found myself writing in the voice of whatever channel I was managing at the time
Oh, yeah.
on my own pages. And I'd be like, no, this is literally, this is me. I just need to, rewire my brain for a
Yeah.
second.
You're listening to Track Metrics, a podcast about the world of marketing in the motorsport industry. I'm your host, Camilla. I'm a mass communications graduate student and a huge motorsport fan. On today's episode, I talked to Lizzie from Pit Lane Lizzie about her experience having worked behind the scenes in professional motorsport social media while building her own social media branding at the same time. Hi, Lizzie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, can you first kind of talk a little bit about yourself, what you do, and what your history is in motorsport?
For sure, yeah. So I had a very random encounter with motorsport. I did not grow up watching it or anything like that. So I first encountered it back in 2015 when I was in college, which is dating myself a little bit, but that's okay. I was lucky enough to get to do some volunteering and internships there. So that's where it all kicked off. I kind of kept connected with Circuit of the Americas, which is where I first got to volunteer and everything over the years. And then eventually started working part-time there, as well as doing my own social media that I started back in 2021. That's all motorsport related. And that kind of graduated over the years. And then I started doing a little bit of a volunteer work with a motorsport magazine online and was able to help them out with their socials, which kind of snowballed into then getting my first media accreditation in motorsport back in July of 2022, where I helped at the Formula E race there. And then I also kind of attended and networked at some races there over the course of the months that I was traveling. And then at the start of 2023 was when I very first started my full-time role in motorsport, my first one ever. And I worked for a motorsport marketing agency for a year. I was a social media manager for them and got to work on three different accounts, which was really cool. It gave me a lot of range of experiences, which I was really grateful for, both working remotely from home and at races and events and different media opportunities for the drivers that we were working with. So I've gotten to do all of that. And then I wrapped that kind of 1 year stint at that job at the end of last year. And since then have been doing freelance work and also some content creation still on my own pages and getting involved in race weekends and events still. So every time I get to do stuff like that, I meet amazing people. So it's been a good journey so far, I would say.
Yeah, that's all super cool. I know we talked a little bit before about some of the accounts that you worked on. Could you mention a little bit what those accounts are and maybe how you got into those accounts?
Sure. Yeah. So the first account that I worked on was a client that's based in the United States, and they were actually part of an automotive company and they had a motorsport program. So there was ambassador drivers for them. So they had, I believe, five, and they were involved in different series, which is really cool. So basically the social media management revolved around covering what they were up to. And in the process, I got to go to various races as well as different events we had in partnership with the client and everything. And that was an amazing intro for me because I had never had a full-time role in the sport. And then it kind of shifted halfway through the year to getting put on a Formula One account, which was GR63. It's George Russell's brand pages, if you will. And that was a big change for me because it's quite a few more eyes on those pages than the ones that I was on before, which are pretty small. But I loved that. I got to kind of take control, if you will, and also get to interact with fans because his brand pages, and that's kind of the goal is fan engagement. So it was awesome for me to kind of get a warm up in the F1 world, if you will, with those pages. And I loved that time. And then for the latter part of the year, I moved on to the Alfa Romeo F1 team's pages, which was another big jump. So went from that to managing all of their socials. Obviously, there's a team and I have coworkers, so I'm not claiming it was a solo operation, but when it came time for me to be on the job, I was doing all of their social media channels from LinkedIn to YouTube, Twitter, X, oh, X, now, Instagram, TikTok, everything. So that was quite intimidating for me, but honestly, it really gave me a lot of confidence because if you can manage something as large as that and, do all of the different steps necessary to keep those, gears turning throughout a race weekend, especially, then I felt like I could do pretty much anything. So Yeah, that's what I got to do in the space last year. It was really awesome.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. And so you have your own account, Pit Lane Lizzie, and I would say it's relatively large. And can you kind of talk about what it was like doing like work on your own personal brand before and after working on these big accounts?
Definitely, yes. It's been quite a journey with those pages because I created them simply because I was looking for community, just for people to talk to about Formula One. And I started making content just for fun and then slowly gained followers. And I thought, well, if this is going well, then apparently I'm doing something right. So I kept going with it. And now I've been able to have some really cool opportunities because of it and meet amazing people, which I think is the most important bit, right? So I think it's very different than my full-time role, of course, that I did last year. But I would say it's been really neat for me to kind of find my voice because at first the pages weren't actually my face, which I don't think we discussed yet. But at first it was just for McLaren focused content. It was literally called McLaren content. So it was more edits and just like a way for me to follow the team, et cetera, and make fun graphics to kind of follow the race weekend, et cetera. And then I transitioned to showing my face. So there was kind of steps involved there. And obviously along the way, it's always been me, right? But when you're operating with your tone of voice versus like my job last year, where you're having to write on the voice of a company or a team or a driver, they're very, very different. So it afforded me a wide range of opportunity to explore my creativity, if you will. So it's an interesting process learning how to write in someone else's voice. And then for me personally, flipping, back and forth between my
Oh,
own
yeah.
and the others. And I actually have had a few times where I found myself writing in the voice of whatever channel I was managing at the
Oh,
time
yeah.
on my own pages. And I'd be like, no, this is me. I just need to, rewire my brain for a
Yeah.
second.
You're captioning like blimey, crikey, as if you're George.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, it's so funny because you kind of get so in the zone with
Yeah.
whatever you're working on. But it's fun for me to be able to have it as a work, scenario as well as a personal creative outlet.
Definitely. And you mentioned that you kind of transitioned from not showing your face into having your face and your voice present. What's that like with, coming from a marketing background where you're not really supposed to be the center of attention? How did that kind of feel? Did you have to do some sort of rewiring in your brain?
I had to have a lot of conversations with people, friends, and family and people around me just to be like, should I do this? I don't know. I'm just kind of nervous. I mean, it is really intimidating to put your face on the internet. And also, when you think about the content creation space within Formula One, obviously it's different than it was a few years ago when I started, but it's intimidating and you don't know if you have something to add or if what you're saying is valuable or if anyone's going to care. So I kind of had to process all of that myself first. And after conversations with people, other creators in the F1 space as well were really encouraging to me. I kind of just landed on the decision that I wanted to because it was a more sustainable way for me to enjoy the motorsport space because it allows me to post about anything, not just one team, but any series, any driver. So at the end of the day, it was kind of an easy decision. It just took a while for me to get there.
So obviously within motorsport, there are many different channels from the full series to drivers and teams and any other kind of aspect of motorsport. So how can someone work in this field if they're into marketing?
There are lots of options, and I love kind of looking into each of them because they're obviously very different. And a lot of times, of course, people first go for the team or a series, which is makes sense. It's the most popular route. So, of course, you can work for a team, you can work for a series. The series often have their own umbrellas where you can work under them specifically, as opposed to looking for McLaren, working for F1 versus McLaren, the team. And then another option is working for a sponsor or a partner. And that's something like DHL is to F1. DHL is a global partner of F1. In those types of companies, of course, then you have to look out for the roles that are specific to the motorsport world, because obviously not every position is going to be, but that's another option. And then, like what I did, you can work for an agency. Sports agencies are super common. And so, searching those, adding motorsport to it, of course, will probably bring you a decent amount of results. You can also work for a racetrack. they hire directly for positions full-time year-round. And I think what's kind of cool about working for a racetrack is obviously they're all different, but a lot of them host a variety of different events, not just one series. So it'd be a cool way to get to experience a bunch of ones, not just, the same every single time all year round. And then the last one I would say is to keep an eye out for roles at TV broadcasting companies or even radio, because obviously there are a lot of them involved in racing series. So you can, keep your eyes peeled for anything motorsport related. It will be obvious, obviously, in the title what they're looking for. But those five, I would say, are all great options to, keep your finger on the pulse for.
Motorsport, so huge. All of these series are broadcast internationally and are featured in so many different places. So there's definitely opportunity for everyone.
There is, yeah. And I just think it's about taking the time to kind of explore. And it's helpful to have resources, for people to know, oh, okay, well, now that I hear all of these different options, I have more to look for rather than feeling like there's such a narrow window.
Definitely. What would you say are, I guess, some of the benefits and some of the downsides to each personal content creation and marketing for someone else?
Honestly, I thought about this for a while, and I don't really see it as upsides and downsides personally because everyone's so different, right? So what I see as a pro, someone else might see as a con, and vice versa. So in thinking about it, to me, it was more of everyone taking time to evaluate what's their career goals, what are you looking for in a career or a role, because you might see, like I said, something as a positive that I don't, and vice versa. So, and then you also have the possibility of dipping into both sides, kind of what I'm doing, working in it, and also having my own. So I think really it sounds kind of like a non-answer, but truly, if you just, take the time to take stock of yourself, what are your ambitions and what you're looking for, that's most helpful in determining kind of the angle you want to lean into. So, I mean, that's what I did, and I found it very helpful. So I would say, rather than saying what my personal upsides and downsides are, I feel like it's more helpful to be like, okay, what are you looking for? What's your personality like? What is your long-term plan? So, if that is helpful at all, that's how what I would.
Yeah, definitely. I think informed consent whenever you're going into a job, into a field, especially where it's so public, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess in that case, what are some of the differences that you noticed that you maybe didn't expect when you were jumping into either the motorsport marketing or content creation space?
I was definitely surprised with just the learning curve with having to balance both needing to be a planner and also spontaneous on social media at the same time. Because obviously in racing, you're dealing with live events, so you have to be able to think on your feet, but at the same time, there's also assets that you're planning for weeks or months. So that was the thing that surprised me the most, was just the fact that you have to do them both. It seems kind of simple, but in reality, when you're put in the situation where you actually have to do both of those things, you need to be prepared to act on your feet as much as be prepared to invest time in executing your content plan. That was a huge surprise for me. But once you kind of get into a rhythm and, it just feels normal after a little bit,
Yeah, do you have any particular stories from any of the accounts that you ran that really challenged you when you were maybe first starting or just even at any point in that year that you were working on them?
My first race weekend solo working on Alfa Romeo's account, I just like think back on it and laugh, to be honest, because I was so nervous. I just really didn't want to mess anything up because, there's a lot of eyes on those accounts. It's a big deal. I wanted to take my job very seriously, and I still do. And I was just so nervous because there's so many platforms, and I didn't want to accidentally miss a post or a typo and have to delete something on Twitter, because that's, you really want to avoid doing that, even though you can edit them. But there's so many things running through my head, right? And I had kind of had a weekend the weekend prior with the United States Grand Prix, where I was working alongside someone at my job as well to kind of work me into the mix, kind of get me warmed up. And then Mexico came around, and I was like, it's all on me. I have to do this. But I think it was one of those things where once you start to do it, you kind of just have to do it scared or do it nervous. And once I just started going, it almost felt like natural. It felt like I was just supposed to be doing it. So it's not so much a story as you will, but just that general weekend. I just remember having such anxiety. But at the end of it, I just felt so proud of myself because you go from a nervous wreck to doing all of that and realizing, wow, I just did that. I did all of this stuff across the course of 4 days, and it was fine, and I lived, so.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure if this is trade secret or not, but is there kind of a a way, like how does the strategy work for race weekends for teams? Are there graphics pre-prepared that you then just have to, insert the results and everything?
I will say it's probably vastly different across. I have no idea how anybody else does it. But I think a general rule, what I would probably assume, just if we're talking about motorsport in general, is that there's a mix. There's probably things that are pre-prepared that you can go on Photoshop and, switch stuff in and out. And then there's going to be things that you just kind of have to, post on the fly. Like, for example, we were getting, or I was getting, photo and video from the content creator who was on the ground for the team. And so we kind of worked that in. And then there's just stuff that happens that maybe you weren't in the content plan, but is relevant to your team or your whatever your plan in some way that you just kind of insert in that just because it works. And often it's those random things that get a lot of traction because, fans appreciate the spontaneity as much as the planning too. So.
Yeah, definitely. I'll have to go back and look at that content, what really went on. I don't really remember Mexico last year, but I'll go and look back at it. I think it'll be fun.
It was a fun time. And for, I mean, obviously for me, I have more memories than other people will, they're just scrolling to scroll. But it was fun. It was kind of a milestone and made me feel a little bit more reassured in my ability, if you will.
Good, yeah. I remember seeing, I think you posted the other day, I'm guessing it was at Circuit of the Americas when Valtteri and Joe were trying on country outfits, and you said that that was one of your favorite days on track. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, so it was in Austin. It wasn't at the track. We were actually at a well-known boot store in downtown Austin called Allen's Boots. It was the week of the United States Grand Prix last year. And so I was just doing behind the scenes content of the shoot on my phone to use for socials. And of course, then there's the whole F1 crew, some of the Alfa Romeo team members there, as well as the drivers. That was one of my favorite days simply because I'd never done anything like it. And I kind of got to be a fly on the wall because I wasn't the one holding the big time video camera, right? I was getting to observe and kind of capture all of these little bits and bobs behind the scenes, which was just me and getting to see the drivers in a very relaxed environment too, not necessarily at the track was different. Normally when you're seeing a driver, they're in their work environment. And granted, this was part of a works situation, but they weren't racing. They were having fun dressing each other up. So it just was memorable because it was unique, and that kind of stuff stands out.
Definitely. And so obviously working for a team, for a driver, you're going to have these sorts of opportunities, but what sort of opportunities have you gained as a personal content creator?
I would say just invitations to events. For example, earlier this year, I got to go to an event at Circuit of the Americas that NASCAR was hosting. It was a women in sports event. And I just got reached out to, and I'm very lucky. I'm fortunate to live close by, so I'm in driving distance. So I was able to just turn around and say yes, of course, and drive down there. And it ended up being amazing because you've meet people who you never would have met otherwise, and people who not just work in motorsport but worked in other industries as well, other sports. So that was really amazing. And then just getting reached out to by other people who were wanting to work in motorsport is a big bonus for me. Just, I mean, I know that's really cool to get to go to the race weekends and get to do the events, but what tops that is people like yourself reaching out to me to ask me to participate in things, to help them out for things, or give them advice. That's really what I found my enjoyment, where that my enjoyment lies in. So as much as it is cool to have Pit Lane Lizzie and get to do things because of it, I think it's more cool for me when people come to me and want me to kind of help them go forward too,
I feel like Formula One social media is such a strong community. Like we were talking earlier about many people who I follow that you know personally because you worked on these different projects with them. And I think it's just so cool to see how interconnected everyone is.
Yes, I mean, it's a common phrase, but it is really such a small world. You meet somebody and then you get into a conversation with them and realize they know this person who knows this person, and you're all kind of connected in this crazy web somehow. And it's super fun. The people are definitely have definitely been the best part of this whole journey so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And so speaking on these sorts of connections, I feel like a lot of people want to start doing content creation, and people like me who are marketers who are just really interested in a specific niche. But with a field like motorsport, it's so vast, and I feel like it's so like difficult and daunting to try to get a foot in the door. What was that like for you, and what are connections like, and how important are they?
They are very, very important. I think they're only becoming more important. Obviously, education is very key, but the connections are enormously important. So I kind of tend to give five recommendations ish for people, because obviously everyone's path is different. So you can't say, do this, do that, you're going to get a job, because that's just not how it works. And sometimes there's things outside of your control that prevent you from getting a job, even if you're suited for it. You know what I mean? So my main thing is the volunteering. I will harp on that until the end of time, because that's how I got my start, and I wouldn't be anywhere without starting to volunteer. Plus, you get such a unique look as a volunteer into what goes into a race weekend. So it's just important to keep your eye on what teams are doing, what race circuits are up to, if they need any help. And it's always worth reaching out. You never know what an opportunity might bring. So you have to be willing to put yourself out there that way. If you're a creative person looking to go into a creative role, it's super important to have a portfolio and a body of work. I was able to use my platform as my body of work when I was applying for motorsport jobs, but you obviously don't have to have that. It's just, if you want to, you can use it. And then obviously internships, whether or not they're in motorsport, to be honest, because as long as you get into something that's similar to what you're interested in role-wise, then you're going to have transferable skills that go to other internships or jobs that you get in the future, wherever they may be. And in terms of networking strictly, you can do that in person. You can do it online. LinkedIn is a great resource. I use that all the time, and that's partially how I've gotten opportunities as well. You just have to be willing to put yourself out there, and it can be really intimidating, because maybe if you don't have a lot of experience, you feel that you don't have any value to add. And that can be really nerve-wracking. But as soon as you realize that you do have value and also a lot to learn from other people, then you're golden. My last thing I always say, which is really cheesy, is just to have fun. Because if you're doing all of this stuff and you're not having fun, then you shouldn't be doing it. It's not worth it. So focus on your own journey. And it's amazing to achieve your goals, but just have fun along the way, because otherwise, what are you doing it for?
Yeah, that's a fantastic sentiment. I feel like, don't put all this time, effort, money sometimes even, if it's not going to feel fulfilling. And I think luckily for people like us, this is a very fun and fulfilling opportunity.
Exactly. And of course, there's going to be hard days. So that's not to say as soon as it feels hard, you should stop, but you should stop as soon as it takes away from your mental health, even if that's just taking a break, or it could be permanent, but you really have to evaluate, where your heart is before anything else.
I think especially for women in motorsport who are fans, who are working in motorsport, it's super important to have this community with so many people who don't like us being here, saying we're ruining the space and ruining the experience. It's great to see that we are there for one another.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, before I even shifted to having my face on the internet, it was in part because of people in the motorsport community, women in the space, encouraging me to put myself out there that I even did that. So I have them to thank for a lot of things, not just for that, but just for other days, where you feel a bit of imposter syndrome or something along those lines, to have people that you can turn to and who intimately understand what you're dealing with, because it's a very unique experience, to be able to share and feel, everyone likes to feel heard and understood. So the community is truly awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any fun stories that you have from your time at the track?
Yes, I had two that came to mind. They're different, but they're just random, but they were fun for me. They were just the first things that came to my head. So last year I went to Barber Motorsports Park for the IndyCar race weekend for work. And as would probably be assumed, it's a super busy, nonstop type of situation when you're working in motorsport. It's also a lot of fun, of course, but it's busy. But there was a short window where me and my coworker were able to go to the museum that they have on site. And a lot of people don't know about it, but it is amazing. It's a multi-floor museum for cars, race cars, regular like sports cars. Just anyone who's interested in anything automobile or motorsport would absolutely love it. So that is obviously a being at the track to watch IndyCar and work that race was amazing, but that was such a highlight for me, because you often don't get to see things other than, just strictly the race cars on track. So it's just kind of a nice little bonus, and I was geeking out the entire time. It was just so cool. So if anyone out there wants to go to Alabama, you definitely should check it out, because you can go even when there's not a race weekend
Oh,
going on.
that's cool.
Museum, super cool. I loved that. Another quick one that I remembered was my very first race weekend ever that I was working back in 2015. I was interning for somebody, and it was the Lone Star Le Mans World Endurance Championship race at Circuit of the Americas. So it's a long race, and it was a long weekend. We had some later nights as well. I have a very specific memory of being so tired that I curled up on the floor of the media center between the tables and chairs and just simply continue. I was like, you know what? I wanted to stay awake through the whole race, and I knew there'd be podium after and work to do after that. So I took a little nap on the floor, and I felt no shame about it, you know.
Yeah, as you should. As you should.
Positive.
What is that, a 12-hour race?
That one was six, I think,
Okay, but still.
but I was also driving a little ways back and forth every day and working quite long hours on top of volunteering before I
Oof,
did
yeah.
stuff. So I was just wiped, but I was having so much fun. But it's just funny, that's something that sticks out in my head. I had literally no shame. I was just, you know what? I'm tired. I'm just gonna curl up between all these tables and chairs on everyone else is doing their little media work. I just need a rest. So I
You
took
know,
my rest.
I bet everyone has done that at some point.
Probably. Yeah. You get to the point of delirium where you just need to, for everyone's sake and for your own sake, just take a little rest.
Definitely. Well, great. Thank you so much, Lizzie, for joining me today. Where can people find you?
My pleasure. I am on Pit Lane Lizzie. I am mostly on TikTok and Instagram. That's the best places to find me.
Amazing. Well, thank you again for joining. This has been so much fun, and I appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you for chatting with me. I loved it.
Thanks again to Lizzie for joining me today, and a special thanks to Sonia Sheptanov for helping me produce this episode. To check out Lizzie's work, you can find her at PitLaneLizzie on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow the podcast on my account, at CamLikesFastCars on Instagram. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Track Metrics.